It's time for Mac Break Weekly. Will Apple replace the Lightning jack, the Lightning port, with a USB Type-C connector? That's the rumor. We'll dissect it with the experts, Andy Iannocco and Renee Ritchie, next on Mac Break Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and once again, time for Twit's audience survey. We'd really like to hear from you. It's only going to take a couple of minutes, really. That's all. Just go to twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. Your anonymous feedback will help us make Twit even better. And thanks for your continued support. This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 548, recorded Tuesday, February 28th, 2017. The Scuttlebutt Method. Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by Betterment, a smart, easy-to-use, and less expensive way to invest for your financial future. Get 1 month managed free when you make an initial deposit of $10,000 or more at betterment.com/MacBreak. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interest in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at quickenloans.com/MacBreak. And by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/MacBreak and entering the promo code MacBreak. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Apple. Andy Iannocco from the Chicago Sun-Times is here. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Leo. Ooh. How are you today?
You got a new hat when you were out here. I like it.
Exactly. It's mostly there to inspire at home conversations like, did you go to Pixar? Oh, well, yes, I went.
As a matter of fact, yes. Do they have a company store there, or does somebody have to just give it to you?
No, they have a kick butt company store that has you can't just show up. You do have to be like you have to have a visitor's badge or you have to have business there. But it's not just like really cool hats, but they also have these cloisonne pins. I bought this like sort of it looks like just a very, very like rainbow colored like little flower, like beautiful little metal pin that it took me a few seconds to realize, oh, my God, that's from Inside Out. That's the badge that he was wearing.
It's hard not to buy everything, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was especially because, it's like I did some damage to the old Diners Club card that day.
Also here from Montreal, a man who knows has spent money on merch before. Renee Ritchie, HiMore.com.
So much merch. A lot of it.
All merch, all the time. Look behind him.
Yeah.
Oh,
all
what's so many that? Is that a Pixar lit remover? What is that?
Yes, no, exactly. It's an Apple stun gun.
You're showing Andy the pen you bought. Yeah. I wonder where you got that.
It's so loopy. I'm just happy that I'm not a small little box because of Amazon, Leo. That's just my only.
They come in a great box. You saved the box. Yep. I love that box. It's round so these are the retrofit pens that Andy recommended last week, and apparently all of us were influenced last week. Both Renee and I bought a retrofit. I found the silver one.
Look get them at that. To match your. You can get them to match your. This is space gray.
Oh, you got more than one.
There's no jet black yet, though. I mean, come on, Apple.
But that's interesting. So I didn't think of saving the box. You saved the box, and now it's a pen holder.
Yes.
Dumb. Yep. I'm dumb.
I just keep all the boxes, as is evident. Yeah,
I recycled. So I just was checking. I went to the website, isitdownrightnow.com, and it's down. I get a big white screen, and there's a reason. Is It Down Right Now is down. It's using Amazon S3. S3 is the storage. It stands for SSS. What is it? Secure storage.
Something super simple storage.
Super simple storage, something like that.
Yeah.
Except it's not working.
Do you remember this happened a couple of years ago, and it turned out that their chatter protocol that reported on the status of the servers wasn't checksummed, so one error took the entire network down? It's always the explanations for these things that are the most fascinating to me.
It's really fun if you do the hashtag AWS outage. There's lots of fun yep. memes going on right now. But what you really learn is how much of the web relies on Amazon storage.
Yep.
I mean, last time all the Pounce icons were down. I mean, let's look how far we've come.
Yeah. Remember Pounce? Yeah. They were using Gravatar or something, right?
Yeah.
It's not unusual for sites to store, to have an image store or store some assets, not all assets, on S3 because it's so reliable.
Yeah. We use it for it's video. What,
yeah.
Yeah. It's the application server for so much of the net right now. It's the hidden success of Amazon. So let's just to recap, just Jeff Bezos controls the keys to the entire internet and he has his own private space fleet. I suggest we be really nice to him for a whole bunch of good reasons.
It isn't, by the way, just Amazon. And here, this is Apple's system status. Apparently Apple uses a goodly number of tools from S3 because I'm seeing a number of issues with FaceTime photos, Apple IDs issues, and I suspect these are related.
Yeah, iCloud is on AWS and on Azure. I mean, they take bandwidth wherever they
can. Okay, so yeah, that means that they're not, that's not a red button, it's an issue button because you'll see some slowdowns on the App Store, on iCloud Backup, Mac App Store. I work for iCloud, iCloud Drive, iCloud Notes, iCloud Web Apps.
Sadly, Amazon Video for Apple TV is not affected by this.
and Skype seems to be okay. That's what we're using right now. But if you're, and I don't, we use AWS as, we use their CloudFront service for load balancing, but I don't think we use S3 for anything.
CloudFront, not CloudFlare.
CloudFront, not CloudFlare. I think it's CloudFront. I confuse it too. Twitter is not down, although some of the images on Twitter may well be disappeared.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
That's too bad because if it were down, we wouldn't be able to see everybody whine about everything being down.
I'm glad it's down. I mean, no matter
how bad Twitter is doing, it's always the place where you complain about every other service.
Right. Yeah. It's, you know, we need Twitter if only for this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's somebody called it the dial tone of the internet. It is what, you know, it carries everything. And it's how you stay in touch with what's going on. Increased error rates. Finally, the Amazon Web Services dashboard is showing the issue as a high error rate with S3 and US East 1. So they're obviously working on that. And,
what about Jiffy? As long as Jiffy is up, I feel like the internet can continue.
Yeah.
I'm so reliant on the internet now in so many ways. It's really...
If there's no animated GIF to show me how I should feel when the internet is down, when animated GIFs are down.
Are they on messages? I didn't check.
I don't know, but I'm paranoid now that the Batman scratching his chin is suddenly denied to me.
Yeah. Well, that's why, like, when you sometimes see, like, people on Instagram making fun of, hey, who's this loser who's got a page, who's still got a page, or, hey, dude, it's not 1994 anymore, and you have to comment back, yeah, that person is probably a doctor or an emergency responder because they still use pager networks that don't get cluttered
don't
up
down.
With,
they
don't go down. The emergency, as you yourself know, the emergency infrastructure is shortwave and ham radios because they can come in with a truck and build infrastructure for everybody. So yeah, you always have to have two sticks and some dry tinder just in case everything goes completely south.
All right. Well, that was kind of an unexpected emergency news we're reporting here. And by the time you hear this podcast, of course, it'll all be back up and running. We hope. If it's not, that's significant.
Jeff is out there. He's pushing. If you're in Washington, give him a hand.
My hair's on fire for another reason, though. And I think I'm going to blame the Wall Street Journal for this particular hair on fire incident. They had a story today about the next iPhone, all the leaks, right? This is from
10th anniversary iPhone.
Yeah, from Takashi Mochizuki. And, you know, it's all the things you've read all along, curved OLED screen, you know, blah, blah,
super
blah.
Super expensive one.
Super expensive. And then you get to the last paragraph. And wait a minute. They said, people familiar with Apple's plans, which probably is Apple,
not
right?
Not Tim. Tim didn't talk to them.
Well, but I think in the past, at least, the Wall Street Journal has been the place that Apple drops these bombs.
You suspect that it's a test flag, yeah.
Apple would introduce other updates, including a USB-C port for the power cord and other peripheral devices instead of the company's, here it says, original Lightning connector. Well, it's not that original. It's only been around since 2010. The models would also do away with the physical home button. Yeah, we heard that. Is this credible, Renee? USB-C port?
Yeah, so we talked about this last time, and Apple was using Lightning because USB-C just simply wasn't ready in time. Apple got the advantage using Lightning for years before USB-C was ratified and shipped, and Apple could control whatever they want. If there was a new sort of like if HDMI 8 came along, Apple could very quickly add that. So, but they will switch in the instant if they have some compelling reason to. Apple's not about chipsets, they're about feature sets. So it's just what will help them sell iPhones. So if it comes to a point where there's a technology they want to introduce that Lightning just can't handle, and that might be throughput for augmented reality, for example, they will switch because it is an implementation detail what port they use for them. And as they go to wireless charging and everything else, it sort of abstracts a lot of the pain away. So I think it's absolutely credible. It just depends if the feature set that warrants the changes are ready, and the pain that Apple thinks is users and they will experience
there will
is less
be a
than
howl.
The advantage.
There will be a howl.
There's a howl anyway for them not using it last year. I mean, people were so upset they didn't switch to USB-C last year. It's like 50-50, 6 and 5,
well,
and pick them.
I think people like us, tech, you know, enthusiasts probably have some USB-C devices. Certainly if you have a new Mac, even a MacBook from 2 years ago, you have some USB-C cables and stuff. And all the new Android phones are USB-C. But how much did we spend on the 30-pin to Lightning upgrade?
Yep.
And how much now? We have to throw out all that stuff, Andy? I mean,
and it's a bigger connector, too, so there's a lot of downsides.
Aye.
Well, actually, there are very few downsides. It does everything that Lightning does. It's ubiquitous. People don't have to necessarily charge the licensing fees for the MFI program to implement it. It's going to be the lingua franca for hardware accessories for mobile devices. It can charge devices as well as being charged by other devices. And as far as, you know, Apple giving it to the users right in the neck, you don't buy an Apple product without assuming that at some point I'm going to get it in the neck. And so it's just a fact of life. And I myself thought it was kind of not unexpected, but a little unfortunate that Apple jumped the gun by introducing Lightning. Again, it was a port that never did anything that wasn't proposed by USB-C. Yeah, it's too bad that the standards committee was dragging their feet. But they, in the past, when micro USB was being ratified, other companies were able to introduce a connector that was, whatever happens, is definitely going to be compatible with future micro USB devices if it was necessarily certified. So Apple, I think they jumped the gun, not knowing that it's not having to switch to a new connector every 5 years. That's not too bad. That's probably going to be a few new charging cables. And for me, speaking selfishly, if that means that finally I don't have to carry N plus one as many different kinds of cable when I travel, I'm looking forward to it. USB-C is wonderful. It's a little bit thicker, but again, you're kind of demented if you're worried about making things like a half a millimeter thicker. I just think it's nothing but upside after you swallow the discomfort of having to buy new cables.
Until you get to micro USB-C and have to switch again in 2 years. I mean, USB is a continuum. We've gone through so many over the last few years. It gives you a few years at most.
You know, last year when Apple took out the headphone cable, I said, oh, that's a shame because that's going to slow down their adoption of USB-C. It will mean they'll be selling Lightning headphones, which they are. They'll be selling a lot of adapters, which they are. And then suddenly those adapters are a year later going to be obsolete.
Yeah, so, they'll still work on 7S, Leo.
How much do you love those headphones of yours that now you have to plug it into a Lightning adapter, then plug it into a USB-C adapter? I forgot. Plus, they're old-fashioned studio headphones, so you also have a studio headphone to 1/8 jack adapter. So basically, you've got this much connector off the bottom of your phone.
I just bought the dock for the Lightning dock. That's great. That's $50.
It's not going to be a big deal because the Apple community and thereby mainstream media is about to discover OLED burn-in on a phone. So we'll have so many gates. We're not going to have to worry about it.
I should, to be fair, I've had many OLED phones and none of them have burned in.
Yeah. Some do. Like Apple Watch burns in. I mean, every technology has its ups and downs.
I guess. I haven't. Okay.
and we'll get all the USB-C cable follies that Android phones have been through. It's gonna be a fun time.
I do. I love that it's an open standard. That you won't. That you know that means that a thousand flowers will bloom. 1,000 devices will bloom. But I feel, I mean, I still go to hotels where there's a clock radio with a 30-pin dock in it.
Well, okay, yes. But frankly, the last thing I want to do is plug anything that's been used by I'm the guy who like even like makes a wrapper for the remote control out of like the ice tub bag, so I don't have to touch that. I'm not going to put my phone in a dock I have not sterilized or figured out what's going in and out of there.
Actually, it was probably fairly safe with a 30-pin adapter, but once you get to USB, you absolutely should not connect.
I don't. In all seriousness, you don't know what's at the other end of that. You can have data slurpers that are just trying to find whatever information it can find at the other end of that. But there are a lot of good possibilities there. I would love to see, at least for the MacBooks and for the iPads, if they do switch to USB-C, the ability to use the use that battery not as a device to be charged, but as a device that can charge other devices. On my some of my other USB-C devices, I can simply say that I happen to have two phones on me. One is my real phone and has a SIM in it. The other is just something I was walking around with. So I can actually like siphon electrons out of one tank and put it into the other just by tapping a notification saying please use this as a charger, not a charged device.
There's also, just before we get too excited, there's a school of thought that thinks the Wall Street Journal, because people get all this information but they never quite know what to make of it, and there's some people who are suggesting that this could be talking about the other end of the Lightning connector, because famously iPhone 7 shipped with a Lightning to USB-A, so iPhone 8 could ship with Lightning to USB-C. Yep. And then that would be Lightning in the iPhone. Sorry, that would be USB-C with the iPhone.
So it sounds like it is the Wall Street Journal, so that makes it credible on the face of it alone. But it sounds like this is actually, you think this is actually going to happen? Would it happen on all three of the new iPhones?
USB-C for power, though, Leo. That doesn't say in the actual phone.
Wait a minute. Oh, thank you for clarifying. That's exactly right. So, well, it says port, though. Hedging, it says port. It doesn't say cable.
I'm just hedging because some people can hear things, and then all of a sudden they've swapped out the Lightning to USB-A cable for a Lightning to USB-C cable, and we're all upset again.
Right. But this says port. So I'm going to – I mean, you might – they may have heard wrong, but that doesn't make any sense. And they're going to get a lot of heat, but, courage.
Yeah.
Well, a
Wall Street Journal rumor is a rumor, but it's high on the spectrum of rumors. It's not
Mark Gurman quality yet, but it's better than Meeching.
It does mean that they had to, whoever wrote that had to convince a bunch of people and a couple of lawyers that whatever information they have is good, which meant that it could still be faulty. It could still be misinterpreted data. But it doesn't mean that, hey, I was on a plane and some guy was showing off a phone. He said that he was a glass manufacturer from Korea, and he said that this is definitely the new phone. And yeah, so that's
like Ant-Man, my cousin's sister's friend. It was on no names.
And am I right in saying, I've always assumed this, at least for the last few years, that when Apple wants to float a rumor or wants to, they've done this in the past when they've got an upcoming event to warn people they're not going to announce something, they leak it to the journal. The journal has anonymous sources or people, in this case, people familiar with Apple's plans, which sounds to me like Apple. This may well be, as you said initially, Andy, a trial balloon from Apple. Or at least kind of a warning.
It could also
from
be
Apple.
An argument. It could also be someone who wants this done and is using this as a way to further their agenda by getting out the public saying, see, look at how many people are supporting it. I want to win this argument.
Going to be smart enough not to fall for that. Or you think, oh, I see somebody from within
Apple. Someone
in
Apple. Yeah, because Apple has the same arguments internally that we have on the outside, and people win and lose those arguments all the time.
I'd be
a little surprised if that were the case. Only because, oh my goodness, you talk about a career-limiting move. Talking to a member of the press about Apple plans without like someone from Apple PR standing behind you with a remote control to that chip they implanted in your brain.
I had drinks with Sam Seaborn last night, Andy.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Christina Warren.
At least it happened before the show. I mean, that's the good thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, we'd have something to talk about next week. Christina, I got actually the story from Christina Warren. Oh, look at this. Gizmodo's broken, too. Because she was saying, if this happens, I'm going to be both upset and happy, right? And yep. I guess that's kind of the story from all of us.
This Wall Street Journal iPhone 8 rumor is absolutely insane.
She says it's insane. Yep. And the last paragraph, I have invested a not insignificant amount of money in Lightning accessories and cables. If the next iPhone really does have a USB-C port, I'm just going to have to laugh and then cry.
I mean, her rose gold beats headphones. What are we going to do?
I love it that one of the great things about working for Gizmodo is that you can cuss if you want to. I would have to say I would just call bull spit on it immediately. She can use the actual word.
Yeah, I think though maybe it is more credible than Christina gives it credit for. And we've rumors. We're 6 months out at least from anything. So.
And the Lightning team worked on USB-C. It's not a foreign technology to Apple.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Yeah. And Apple was actually, we should remember, an early adopter of USB-C with a MacBook 2 years ago.
Some people would claim too early because we had to have one Google engineer vet every cable for us on Amazon.
Yeah. I for one would welcome it because I do have, but I acknowledge that I'm not the normal person. I mean, a normal person has all Apple, right? I have enough USB-C phones that I have docks, and cheaper, by the way, a lot cheaper than the $50 Apple dock. I have cable
ecosystem
score.
Though, because all the magic accessories charge over Lightning, the remote charges Lightning.
For my Apple.
Pencil.
Yep.
Oh my God.
But again, see, with other companies, you would, and I don't mean that this is a dig. With other companies, you would say that would be let's take two steps back and make sure we really want to do this. With Apple, it's like, screw it. They'll buy adapters.
And do we get it with the new iPads in the spring, or do they hold it off and have the iPhone, and then the iPads are still on Lightning? I mean, so many interesting things.
I mean, if you know you're going to do it, you pull the Band-Aid off, right?
Yeah.
I hope.
Then do you spoil it for the iPhone? I mean, I don't know.
Let's take a break, and we're going to talk more about what Apple's doing. In fact, we've got some Mac news coming. Ooh. Yeah.
Reset the tote board. from 281 days back to zero.
Well,
all right.
It's not, okay, it's rumor. Well, no, it's more than rumor. It's Tim Cook.
I'll take it.
Tim Cook, yeah. But first, a word from Betterment, a smart, easy-to-use, and less expensive way to plan and invest for your financial future. You got to save for the future. Make sure you and your family are set for financial success with Betterment, the largest independent automated investing service. $5.5 billion, 180,000 customers. Betterment is big, and that's because Betterment does it better. Their portfolio is designed to achieve optimal results no matter what level of investment. No minimums to sign up. And in fact, you can sign up right now at betterment.com/MacBreak. Tell them how you're invested, and they'll let you know if you're on track. They have a really sophisticated advice algorithm and a goal-based investing framework that takes into consideration your goals to create just the right portfolio. Do you save? You save big time, up to 600% on fees. That means you keep more of your money. Now, I'm not allowed to invest in it if SEC regulations prohibit in customer endorsements for financial stuff, right? So if I were a customer, I couldn't do this ad. But I know other people who are using and are very happy. And actually, I wanted to see how it would do for my mom. She's 83 and retired, and they generated a great portfolio. You saw how easy that was on the website. You can also securely sync in your outside investments, so you're not, like some stuff here, some stuff there. She's got a lot of stuff at a brokerage, but I could put that in there, so we get a total idea of her net worth and how she's doing with all of her investments. But the Betterment investments are better because they're automatically diversified, automatically rebalanced. The fees are lower. In fact, Betterment customers can expect 4.3% higher returns than a typical DIY investor. That's 4.3% is significant. They have smart deposits, and this is great. If you're younger, it's always hard to put money aside, but this will allow you to automatically invest excess cash. So you'll build that nest egg. The retire guide is important as you get older. Providing a consolidated review of your retirement calculates your retirement gaps so you can make sure you can make up for it before you retire. And, of course, every time you make a deposit or You get dividends, which are continuous. Betterment's going to intelligently rebalance your portfolio so that it's consistent with the portfolio plan. Not too much in bonds, not too much in equities, that kind of thing. Betterment's tax loss harvesting helps lower investment taxes and increase after-tax returns. And because it's end-to-end investing, you get faster cash transfers, tax forms available at the earliest possible date, and of course, it's completely secure. And there are people, support specialists available 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I'm telling my mom to do this. She's been paying a lot of money. And I told her, why? This is crazy. Why are you for investment? Investing involves risk. Right now, get 1 month managed free, when you make an initial deposit of $10,000 or more. To learn more, visit betterment.com/MacBreak. Betterment.com/MacBreak. Betterment. Investing made better. Tim Cook.
Should clarify that Leo likes his mom very, very
much. That's right.
Loves
Leo? Leo? I mean,
really? Seriously? She told me. She
Is
said,
this Betterment thing any
she
good?
Said, no. What she said, I said, I don't know how we got, came up, but she said she was spending $1,600 a year on an investment advisor. And I said, what are you, crazy? Especially for my mom. It's not like she's a day trader. So anyway, yeah.
Does she have any problem repatriating money from Ireland?
No, she doesn't have $100-200 billion.
They're grumpy.
She's been using the Dutch sandwich, but not the Irish turnaround. During a Q&A session at a Tuesday shareholder meeting at the campus, Tim Cook told investors Apple is still very much focused on its professional customers. And here's the pull quote. You'll see us do more in the pro area. The pro area is very important to us. The creative area is very important to us in particular. So this is with regard to Mac, Apple Watch. Oh, but really, come on. Pros, creatives, Apple Watch? I don't think so.
Apple Watch Pro, you've heard it here first.
Services and iPad. But I think really, if you're talking pro, if you're talking creatives, you're talking Mac. Mac Pro is now 1,100 days without a refresh.
Yeah.
Almost four years at this point,
Tim is in put up or shut up mode. It's like, it's nice. I hear that you're making noises with your mouth, which is nice. You're using the words pro in there, which is also nice. But after 3 years, after discontinuing models that are popular, after making really controversial and downright odd choices about projects that you cancel, even though they are really wonderful pro apps, and other projects that you totally pivot at least 110 degrees away from what at least most people would instinctively think of as pro. Again, I need something more at this point than saying, oh, we think that La La Land has a brilliant future as an Oscar contender. It's like, yeah, fine. Okay.
That's really true because so many pros.
I'm not saying I don't believe him. I'm saying that I will. That's right now. That's just okay. I write down that he has said this. Good. I don't. That doesn't mean anything to me until he's actually on stage holding up something that that the design people said, my God, this is so ugly. This is it's so practical and functional. It makes me sick. That's what I'll believe.
Expect it when you see it, mode.
I mean, you got people like Trey Ratcliffe writing, Apple is dead to me. I'm switching to Windows. One of our favorite photographers, good friend of the network.
How long are people going to wait?
Pros give up at some point. You know, Trey ended up buying a desktop replacement, $5,000 MSI laptop. I mean, a big honking laptop because
he's a photographer. He needs the power. It's not a problem for him to carry stuff around because the things he carries around makes him money. Right. What he needs is the stuff that's suited to his knees. So he's not willing to listen to you say about how exceptional this new flat keyboard is and how by removing these ports, they've refined the, again, I've got a job. I put time and money in, I get money out. This is a very simple equation, and the variable of Apple we need to remove from this equation if we're going to keep in profit.
Yep. And you can't get any Apple Mac with a rainbow light-up keyboard, so there's that, too.
You can put the Hue light strips on and use HomeKit to turn them on and off.
This remember you were saying the Apple design team would say how ugly? This Johnny Ive would literally throw up if Apple released something with a rainbow keyboard.
He was given that poor design team member crap about a rust-colored cloth in an Apple Watch box in that 60 Minutes thing. That looks like a dorm room carpet. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
That looks like the Las Vegas Strip.
Oh, wait a minute. I sense some joy in this. Find it and kill it immediately. What did I tell you
joy
about letting
come
joy
from the
into
user.
Our product design?
Do not impose your joy on the user. Let them discover their own joy.
Now, admittedly, photographers have the luxury of using Photoshop and Lightroom. And you know, most of the tools that they use are cross-platform. So it's not a big deal. If you're all in on Final Cut, you'd kind of really be waiting for a Mac Pro. Although what we did, and I bet you a lot of pros have done, is we just bit the bullet and we trained everybody in Premiere and moved to a Dell workstation.
Yeah, that's the vulnerability. And also they drove a lot of professionals, photographers, away from Aperture by saying, we don't care about Aperture. We're not going to upgrade it. So I would have been happy to use, I'm not a pro, but I would have been happy to use Aperture forever because I thought it was great. I only switched to Lightroom because I had to. And then that sort of got me. A few years ago, there were a bunch of things that got me thinking that I don't want to be locked into using Apple only standards, unless I think that there is a really good, compelling reason for them to be better than a competing Notes app, for instance. And for my personal needs, I found very few solutions that really required an Apple solution. And then when you come down to now, it's down to a piece of hardware that I'm using that can run multi-platform things and standards that are available on any platform, it becomes how good is this piece of hardware for my particular needs? And all you got to do is change that one thing that this user needs. And then they're suddenly saying, okay, I can't use this anymore. I'll walk out of the Apple store with an extra $500 in my pocket and I'll see what's going on at Sears. I think they got some great Gateway laptops using the new Pentium 4 processor.
Amazing, isn't it? Jeez. Apple it's official now, going to open its Apple Park in April and start moving in employees, although that's going to take 6 months to move 12,000 employees.
Well, you rent the U-Haul and you got to make a bunch of trips.
Why does it take so long?
A lot of Apple friends are going to be suddenly out of town that weekend for very good reasons.
They need enough pizza and beer.
I guess they're not. I mean, they're going to continue to work on it through the summer. So I think it might take that long because it's not done. Like as they finish offices, they'll move people in. Because I mean, they could do it all in one day if they wanted to. Obviously,
yeah.
In honor of Steve's birthday last Friday, who would have turned 62, they have announced that they're naming the new theater, the Steve Jobs Theater, which I think is wonderful. And because, I mean, nobody was better at those performances than Steve Jobs. Nobody ever will
Still
be.
His stage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The stage is his. 1,000-seat auditorium. And that's a lot bigger than the current auditorium at One Infinite Loop. That's about half that size. Town Hall. Yeah.
A couple hundred.
Yeah. It'll be, they have this entryway, which is this amazing glass cylinder. Wow. And then you go downstairs underground. You can see the top of the escalators over here on the right and the left, actually. And you go downstairs into the underground auditorium. That will be something to see. I don't know when they'll open, what the event will be that they will open that. But that'll probably, I'm thinking the new iPhone. So September, yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe March?
They said later this year, so.
Yeah, I'm thinking September.
Yeah, no, they're definitely going to get all the value they can out of this this unveiling. There's going to be 60 Minutes is going to get a whole segment to themselves. Yep. Someone's going to get the exclusive. Architectural Digest is probably going to get someone to get the old wet plate view cameras out to get the good photos of it. This really is a statement of everything that Apple believes in, that this is how we build the campus, and we build the campus with the same care and thought that we use to build our phones, which is probably true.
Yeah. It's going to be beautiful. I will.
Will Apple Park have USB-C? I mean, that's the big story. How's it going to charge?
By the way, they did. There was the implication that there would be a spring event, and this is here we are. It's March tomorrow. Do you think there'll be an announcement of an event this next month?
Out of the last several, three of them were the first week of March, and one, the last year's one, was the 21st of March, the last week of March. They have time if they want to hit that window.
Maybe just a few weeks away.
Mm. It's hard to imagine something that's really, really big that they must announce in the next month, though. It feels like if they do have an event in late March or early April, it's going to be sort of a catch-all one where it's here is a new iPad with a new screen size and some other performance enhancements. Here is an iPhone in a new color. Here is some tweaks to the MacBook line, which is not a redesign, but we put new chips in it. Or here is oh, and by the way, if you take the exit that goes through the alley, we do have a few Mac Minis in there that we promise you have a slightly faster Thunderbolt ports in it. It doesn't seem like there's anything on the horizon that seems like, wow, this is the thank God I didn't buy X in November, because the really good one is coming out now in March.
I'd agree on Macs, but a new iPad, a 10.5-inch iPad Pro would probably be a pretty big deal to announce, yeah.
Mm. It's weird. I'm glad to see them throwing this is how Apple demonstrates their faith in a product. We've been seeing sales numbers on the iPad be very, very flat, but nonetheless, the fact that they keep coming up with new ideas, they're not saying that, okay, well, I guess the market has spoken and they don't want an iPad. They're saying, well, if we're not selling as many as we thought, maybe it's because they want something that's more compact but still has a big screen size. So let's try to make something that has the form factor of the classic 9.7-inch iPad, but has no bezel in it, so it has the larger screen that people associate with the iPad Pro. Or let's come up with a Mac Mini that is more has more protein in it, and it can really be an alternative. This $400 or $500 iPad can be an alternative to the $400 or $500 Windows 10 notebook or a convertible. So it's Apple definitely has lots of faith in the iPad, and that's why they demonstrate it by actually shipping product.
Here, by the way, thanks to Gardner in our chat room, is the event log for Amazon's S3. Just an update on this. These are the opens mean there's open error tickets. So Elastic Beanstalk, Workmail, SES, Elastic File System, S3 operational issue. That's probably the one that's really affecting a lot of people. This is US East 1.
EC2 is fixed. EC2 is fixed. EC2, oh, not fixed.
Not fixed. Well, they closed something. That's old.
And it's open again.
all the February 28th ones. These are the open tickets. It really is widespread. It's not just S3. It's all over Amazon.
Can't wait to find out what happened.
Yeah, our site is up, but we're probably, I would guess, most of our servers on West, not East. So maybe that's why. Here's some good news for people. We've talked on this show and others about the issue of a fingerprint reader versus a password, and how a password seems to potentially protect you better due to your right against self-incrimination, the Fifth Amendment. Courts have often held that giving up a fingerprint is no different than, you know, giving up a fingerprint when you're arrested or a hair sample for a DNA. It's not self-incrimination, and police can reasonably ask for that. But giving up a password is something you know, something in your brain, and historically that's been protected. Here's some good news. A judge I don't know if you remember, we talked about this, but the government was asking for a warrant that would allow them to go in to a premise and force everyone in the premise to provide their fingerprint and unlock their phone. Mm-hmm. And a judge has now in Chicago has denied their request to do that. This was part of a child pornography investigation, and we don't have a lot of information because much of it's sealed. But this from Ars Technica. According to the judge's opinion, forced fingerprint is part of a broader government strategy likely to combat the prevalence of encrypted devices. So this is something they're going to want to do more of. In fact, last year, federal investigators sought similar permission in a case in Southern California. 14-page order, which was published February 16th, but is just now kind of circulating. Judge M. David Weissman wrote that while investigators did have probable cause to search a home, quote, these limitations do impact the ability of the government to seek the extraordinary authority related to compelling individuals to provide their fingerprints to unlock an Apple electronic device. So that's probably good news. By the way, the judge is a former FBI special agent. So the court finds a warrant does not establish sufficient probable cause to compel any person who happens to be at the subject premises at the time of the search to give his fingerprint. You're protected. Doesn't change the difference between a fingerprint and a password, but it does mean that you can't get a mass warrant, at least in this case.
We've been seeing a lot of these things. Like, they need to get a warrant. They need to have a name on the warrant, for instance. So there will be a John Doe warrant where there's an agreement that we will put the name on the warrant when we find out who is there, and we will basically retroactively file it. And sometimes it's been upheld. Sometimes it depends on how far up the chain you want to fight it. It's still something that's being tested out, and it's you also have. Trying to get around it kind of differently by using very specific language by saying, I need to see your phone, which is not them saying it's not saying you do not have the legal right to refuse to give me your phone. If I say I need to see your phone, that feels like a command they handed over. And then as soon as you willingly hand it over, that's it. No warrant. It's clean. So there's a lot of this sort of stuff going on by law enforcement that's doing their job, and they're trying to do their job as best they can using the tools that they feel are available to them. But that means that citizens have to be super on their guard. I have to say that I don't have any international travel coming up soon, but it really is making me think about what happens when I try to get back into the country. And if I am asked for, I need you to unlock your phone, or I need the password to your Twitter account, what do I do? I probably think that the first thing I do is I make sure that I turn off my phone when I get off my plane so that I don't have to provide a fingerprint that has to be a password. But it's not unreasonable that I will be spending anybody who says no could be spending 2 or 3 hours, at the very least 2 or 3 hours in an office while you basically convince these people that, yes, I am willing to sit here and do nothing until you say that I'm not being charged with anything and you're letting me go now. So it's tough. You have to know your rights now more than ever.
It's an interesting conundrum for law enforcement because, of course, if they can't go in and say, all right, everybody freeze and put your finger on your phone and unlock it.
Right.
Then people can just turn their phone off or, do something so that the fingerprint doesn't work anymore. And so I think that the reason you're seeing these mass warrants is that's what they want to do, is they want to kind of compel people not to lock their, freeze in place. Otherwise, it gets very difficult to get in there. They are demanding at the border. They are demanding PINs, as we know. We've heard some cases of people being asked. But then all sorts of extra legal things seem to be happening, including asking for papers on a domestic flight.
So. That's the weird thing now, is that it used to be we had to wait till the courts figured out the legality of all this. But in the last few months, we've seen that what the courts decide and what law enforcement actually does have become two very different things.
Yeah.
And as someone who travels a lot, there's just I was talking about this with a friend who's in InfoSec. There's no good solution. Some people say just mail your phone, but mail is subject to search at the border and to duty and other fees. You can't just put on different accounts. You can't just turn it off because they won't let you go through security with an off phone because it could be a bomb. They're going to force you to turn it back on. If you wipe something and then lie to them, it's often the cover up that gets you in trouble, not the actual thing that you're doing. So if you lie and say that the phone is in a different state than it is, you're lying to a federal officer.
Oh, that's a good point.
And that's worse than than having a phone.
ACLU is saying if they ask for your PIN or you ask for a password, say no and call the ACLU. You're within your legal rights, but as you point out, Andy, they can detain you for a period of time. And if you do decide, well, I don't have time to sit here and cool my heels, there's nothing on my phone, they very likely will unlock it and take everything that's on it. And I think that's going to be, in the long run, the more interesting court case. You know, the Fifth Amendment protects you against self-incriminating testimony. You can't be forced to testify against yourself. And the courts up to now have held that testimony is speech, and that's why they can get your fingerprint, they can get your hair, they can be forced to blow into a breathalyzer. Yeah, you'll incriminate yourself by blowing, but it's not protected by the Fifth Amendment.
The Fifth Amendment is protected by something that is inside your brain that you know that other people don't. They can't force you to say something.
You can't be forced to testify against yourself.
However, again, fingerprint is a physical object. A key to a safe is a physical object. They're also using that to think that, well, what if we say that the encryption key for this document is the equivalent of a physical key to a safe? Then Yeah, it's a mess, and everybody's there's going to be a big fight before it's anywhere close to being settled.
It is, because what's changed is, you know, that's one thing to say, give me your breath or hair or fingerprint, but your phone contains your life.
Everything.
Everything. Yeah.
And you think spousal privilege is important. Your phone has more information about you than your spouse.
My wife doesn't know as much as my phone.
And your wife can't testify against you, but your phone absolutely could. And that's a legal area that we haven't explored. And also, as Alex would point out if he was here, there's a lot of companies you work at that if anyone takes your device, you just have to leave it because you can never trust that device again. Right.
Well, that's the other side of it. They take it into a different room. You don't know what they've done to it. So this is why Nokia is brilliant in re-releasing its 3310 candy bar phone. They announced it this week at the Mobile World Congress, a $51 phone that doesn't do data. It doesn't have a fingerprint lock either, but what the hell? It's just, you know, this is going to be the – this. I imagine they're going to sell a few of these phones for people traveling into and out of the U.S.
It makes my life so much difficult. Like, I can run – I can do everything. If I'm going to a trade show, I can do everything on my phone. I can't do anything on a flip phone.
Right.
I mean, it's just
– right.
Yeah. Not, I can work up until
you can play Snake.
Off. BlackBerry.
I'm sorry that it's getting as much that phone's getting as much flack as it does, because it is quietly brilliant for a few reasons. Number one, for us in the United States, there are people who have clothes that have very, very small pockets, so they want a functional phone that can receive texts. They want a phone that will last for days on battery as opposed to hours on battery. But people who make fun of it are missing the point that once you see that this doesn't use high speed data and it has an FM radio in it, that in itself tells the entire story about who they're making this phone for. You're talking about like people in India who want to listen to the cricket, and people who are using their phones in areas that don't have high speed data, or they have high speed data but data costs a fortune and you don't want to use it. So you use your devices inside a coffee shop or someplace with public Wi-Fi. So this is not necessary. If it doesn't make sense, if it seems foolish for somebody in the United States who has a very United States centric view of the world, then it makes perfect sense for somebody who has, for whom $50 is a good amount of money to spend on a phone that has all the features that are relevant to them and their part of the world. So I'm glad to see this sort of diversity. And yeah, I'd be interested in, for $50, having this in my drawer somewhere for those times when, again, I want to take a very, very, very light communicator with me. At least it has an MP3 player, not enough storage that I can actually put like a 2002 iPod's worth of music on it. So I'm probably good.
I think we mentioned this last week, but it's been getting a lot of press. The Berkshire Hathaway stake in Apple more than doubled his holdings.
We probably spent.
Warren Buffett more than doubled his holdings.
Since a little before the election, maybe.
Warren keeps wanting to talk. Shut up, Warren. He made some money on it. What did we say? It's like $7 billion in the last month. I mean, just crazy.
I mean, he did invest a little bit to get that return.
You have to have a billion to make a billion. Okay, I'll acknowledge that. How much? What is the stake? They have about 2.5% of Apple. That's one of Berkshire Hathaway's largest holdings, second only to Coca-Cola. They own $17 billion worth of Apple stock. Buffett was talking on CNBC. He said he upped his stake because of the consumer retention that Apple has managed, the lock-in, and Tim Cook's smart capital deployment strategy. Apple strikes me as having – here, well, let's play it. Now we can play it. Go ahead and talk.
I ask people about products all the time. When I take my great-grandchildren to Dairy Queen, they bring along friends sometimes. They've all got it.
I like the way Warren does research. He takes his grandkids to great-grandkids
and
to Dairy Queen.
And also, I completely believe that Warren Buffett takes his kids
to
Dairy Queen.
Absolutely. You know he does.
He owns it. Why not?
An iPhone. And, you know, I ask them what they do with it and whether they can live without it. And when they trade it in, what they're going to do with it. And, of course, I see when I come to the Furniture Mart that people have this incredible stickiness up with the product. I mean, if they bring in an iPhone, they buy a new iPhone. I mean, it just has that quality that it gets built into their lives. Now, that doesn't mean something can't come along that will disrupt it, but the continuity of the product is huge, and the degree to which their lives center around it is huge.
Don't you think that Warren Buffett's actually one of those aliens from Men in Black that, like, he'll take his hair? Because there's no way this sweet, genial old great-grandpa doing his research at DQ could have made himself one of the richest people in the world. This is all a cover.
That's why no one else does it, Leo. They can't believe the strategy is that simple. Go to Dairy Queen, invest a little bit of money, and you could be Warren Buffett.
He calls it the scuttlebutt method.
Again, you get... What a radical concept, the idea that you don't just let people like write reports and show you tables and figures. You go out into the world to see if this report, if the data you're seeing jives with the actual world that you seem to live in right now. It's like, oh man, it's got to be so bad to be a billionaire in the same time in the same world as Warren Buffett, because Buffett is a great billionaire. He is a wonderful billionaire.
It really makes you feel like anybody could do it, right? Anybody.
It's like he's entitled. If he posted a picture on Instagram of him like kiteboarding with a naked supermodel on his back, no one would say that's fair. He completely deserves that. I would do the same thing.
I think truthfully that this is like he's the front man. But really, somewhere deep beneath the earth in Omaha, Nebraska, there's a 400,000 square foot computer-driven facility that has there's collecting more satellite data and financial data and is churning it up to give. Because there's no how could I went to Dairy Queen with my great grandchildren.
AI in the 60s. Right. He caught the Roswell crash, Leo.
You're suggesting that Warren Buffett is kind of like what we send the Mars Opportunity rover to go out on Mars and explore and send information back. I would be very, very impressed by any alien intelligence that chose a rover as impressive as Warren Buffett to roam the Earth, interfere positively.
Look at this, though. He doesn't – look at the phone he carries. He's not –
probably spent
– he doesn't carry an iPhone.
A little before the election, maybe, because we were
– you got to love this guy.
$20 billion? You're just counting the billions in your head as you sit here doing this?
Well, I was, I quit when I got to 20.
That's how much he invested in Apple.
Why now? Again, is there a reason for this, or is it just you look at individual stocks that you wanted to own and you bought them?
I absolutely look at individual stocks. It has nothing to do with the Federal Reserve. It has nothing to do with the election.
And he's a Coke Zero drinker.
It would have something to do with interest rates if they did something extraordinary. It hasn't had, because they haven't changed that much, but there just were a couple of things I wanted to do, and we had the money, and I like investing, and I would much rather have that $20 billion in these companies. And I don't look at it as being in stocks. I look at it as being in businesses. It's just small pieces of businesses. And I would so much rather have that than have the money in Treasury bills, which is my alternate.
He's bullish. He's bullish on America. Wow. He bought $120 million in January before Apple's earnings were announced. He bought 120 million Apple shares. And he said, why? When they asked why, he said, because I liked it.
Yeah. Made my money the old-fashioned way.
I wish I could. There's a frame in here where he holds up his phone, and it's one of these. It is one of these old flip phones. Might as well be one of them Nokias.
Well, yeah, because if rich people don't need iPhones, they have people.
That's true. They probably don't even need phones.
Well, the grandkids might want to go to Dairy Queen.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Apple.
Does he have the gall to like turn to his grandkids and say, do you have any of your newspaper money? Because all I got are 100.
I forgot my wallet.
Mario, run. Tell me about that. Maybe I should buy a Nintendo tomorrow.
Grandpa's not very cash fluid today.
Every day at noon, he goes home from the office to his home in Omaha, and has a bowl of Campbell's tomato soup and a grilled cheese sandwich. The guy's he's
living the dream. He's living the
he's
dream.
He's living the dream.
That's all I want out of life. More tomato soup, a grilled cheese sandwich, and $20 billion to throw around on one investment. That's all I want. I'm a simple man.
He cooks the soup on burning money. I mean,
oh, Lord. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more. Renee Ritchie from mymore.com. Andy Iannacco from the Chicago Sun-Times. We're talking Apple. And if you're watching this show, you're probably, I think it's a safe bet to say, probably kind of a geek, okay? I admit it. You're a tech enthusiast, right? You probably would like to do everything you could online. Who wants to? Well, I'll give you an example. When it's time to get a mortgage or refi your house, are you going to go to some guy that looks like Andy Iannacco and say, please, can I have some money? No, you're not. You're going to bring a banker's box filled with papers saying, here's my financial records. Please, sir, can I borrow some money? No, you're not. You're going to want to do this all online. Fortunately, the best lender in the country, Quicken Loans, has created Rocket Mortgage just for us. It is an entirely online mortgage approval process. Everything is online, including submitting pay stubs or bank statements, whatever you need to give them. All online, with the touch of a button, you can, you know, customize your loan to match your needs, both in term and rate. Press the button and be approved within minutes for a loan that's tailored just for you. All online. Don't waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. Don't bother putting on pants to go to a mortgage office. Do it all at quickenloans.com/MacBreak. Skip the bank, skip the waiting. Get approved in minutes. Quickenloans.com/MacBreak. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Number 3030. Maybe you're not buying a house right now, but keep that in mind. You know how it happens. You go to an open house, just a little looky-loo, and you go, hey, this is pretty nice, and that price is good. We ought to buy this thing. The best thing you could do is then show the realtor, oh, and by the way, we're approved. We're approved from Rocket Mortgage. QuickenLoans.com/MacBreak.
Although it's a really good idea, like, to actually be wearing pants, because then the loan officer knows that you're that kind of sharpie who can afford pants.
You're taking it seriously. I can't even afford pants, officer. Apple has filed, interestingly, coincidentally, a 14-point appeal against the $14 billion tax edict handed down by the European Commission.
Point per billion.
Yeah. Actually, we said this. We did this last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just... Never mind.
I still don't understand it, so I still have nothing to say.
Nothing to say. Apple has patented a new technique for avatar creation, something we all need. It places digital versions of you in messages and FaceTime. And again, I will emphasize, a patent is meaningless.
So there's a rumor that there was supposed to be a feature in iOS 10 messages that would sort of emojify people. But that the results were not
scary.
What they wanted to ship. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't have a doubt that they're working on fun stuff like this for, Craig's segment in WWDC 2017, but we'll see how far they
go. Put a Canadian hat on this person. I wonder what that's all about. Do you think this is Apple Canada did this?
Well, they have a lot of fun. I mean, the engineers from Waterloo had to go somewhere, Leo.
Yep. Yep. I was a BlackBerry guy. According to analyst Ming Chi Kuo, the iPhone 8's front camera will have the capability to do 3D mapping, part of the augmented reality thing, like Google's Tango service, which is in some of its devices. So, you could have a 3D head. I bet you anything. The technology exists to do it. I bet you anything that it was just too creepy.
So someone went to the trouble of making a simulation that projects a holographic universe into 3D just so that we can project ourselves back down into 2D. This is why I love technology so much.
Keyboard problems for some 2016 MacBook Pro owners. You'd give this much credence? I haven't had any problem.
I mean, like, a small percentage of our customers are affected by this problem translates into a lot of customers at Apple scale. So. Right.
Non-functional keys, strange high-pitched sounds coming out of the keys. Keys with a non-uniform feel.
I think they pitched that as a feature, that keyboard.
let's hear the
non-uniform feel, and the high-pitched squeal is coming from me.
Here's the hype. You want to hear the high-pitched squeal? Let's see if you can hear it. Ooh,
is it coil line again?
So the first one is just the shift key, and then he presses the caps lock. Now, remember, the caps lock has a light in it, so there's some electronics in there. Ooh, that's painful.
that is the shouty button.
The shouty button? Yeah.
that's good physical interface.
I did like the Apple last week shipped iOS 10.2.1, or they talked about iOS 10.2.1, which helped fix the shutdown problem that some people were having with iPhone 6 and iPhone 6S. And I like the method that they used because they didn't understand the problem. So in 10.2, they put code in that would take more diagnostics. Oh, and then so they realized – yeah, they realized that what was happening was as batteries were aging, and batteries age at a different rate depending on how you use it. The more you recharge it, the more cycles it goes through. If you let it get really, really hot or really, really cold, it can damage a battery and prematurely age it. But what was happening is that we have all these really – like the A-series chipsets are super powerful, but we have things like portrait mode and things like really advanced photo filters like Meitu and Prism that really hit those processors. And if it spiked, if it wasn't just a normal – ramp up, but if it actually spiked, it could panic the battery into shutting down because it thought it was an issue that it you know, a more serious issue than it was. So they adjusted some things in software to minimize that, and there's still, I think they said it solved 60 to 80% depending on which generation phone you had, but they rolled that out as a software fix. And I'm hoping as they go through these things, they're better able to do that. They hear a problem, they diagnose it, they roll out a fix, they go on to the next one, because to me that's just a clever approach to these things.
Here's a good news for Swift lovers, you're always looking for people using Swift. The latest Mac ransomware is written in Apple's Swift language by what, according to Macworld, appears to be an inexperienced developer, judging from the many mistakes made in its implementation.
You will pay me. Here is my bank routing info.
Well, and it's a funny thing. It's ransomware, but if you get bit by it, don't expect to pay anybody anything, because you can't recover your files because it's so poorly written. It generates one encryption key for all files, stores the files in an encrypted zip archives, but apparently there's no way to communicate with an external server, so the encryption key is never sent to the attacker, so he can't send it back to you. So don't bother to pay the ransom.
Don't even get started in the customer service for these guys.
Well, shazam, I guess I forgot to add that last little bit of code.
This was discovered by antivirus researchers at ESET. It is the second ransomware program. This one, you'd have to really work hard to get it. It poses as a cracking tool for commercial software like Adobe Premiere Pro and Microsoft Office, and it's being distributed on BitTorrent sites. So, you know what? If you download that program, you deserve to get bit.
Yeah, you don't like any fellow human being to suffer, but on every single platform, most of the vectors for getting infected, yeah, even on Windows, even on Android, is you went to a pirate, yeah, you went to a source of pirated software or something that you should have paid for but didn't, or you're someplace to that. Yeah, so that's.
By the way, the researchers are monitoring the Bitcoin wallet address used by the attacker, and they haven't seen any payments.
So on top of everything else, their social media game is not on point.
They really have to work on this.
I mean, they should get a YouTube channel or something. Just, you know, get some zazz in the to get those millennials.
I don't even think this shows a vulnerability on Macintosh, because you have to download and run a program, install and run a bad program that doesn't have a
ransomware. Yeah,
you know, come on, it's not.
There's being a victim of malware and viruses, and then there's going to Grand Central Station and licking all the escalator handrails. I mean, there's there's a point at which you don't blame the platform,
right? iOS 10 is now installed on almost 80% of all Apple mobile devices. That's in 5 months. Wow. That is really, really remarkable. 16% of all the devices are still using iOS 9, and 5% are even earlier. Those are probably devices too old to upgrade, I would guess,
right?
Yeah, everything's timed up before then.
So, you know, in all likelihood, everybody who can get iOS 10 has. So well done. Well done. That's a very good thing for everybody. And I guess we'll see at WWDC, they'll start talking about iOS 11.
11.
Goes to 11.
Got to use that tagline. Is it Schiller or is it Federighi? But who's going
to
use it?
Goes to
this
11.
This year,
make sure Harry Shearer gets his check, though. Nobody is paying these people for everything, all the music they've done and everything.
I like on Harry Shearer's Twitter. Let's see if I can find it. He says, I got to show you.
I just got an alert that Apple's uploaded a new iPad Pro commercial too, Leo.
Oh, well, we'll play it. Of course, you know us. Let me see if I can find here.
I will say that they're Spinal Tap is suing the companies again because after in 30 years the studio claims that they are owed $44 in profits and licensing, and they said I think that's move the decimal point several spots to the right.
Smell and the then
move it 11 spots. 11 spots to the right. 11.
Harry Shearer's Twitter bio: Derek Smoles. He wrote this. Burns, Smithers, Le Show podcast and broadcast ebook OJ by the Sea now at Amazon. I like it. Derek Smalls, he wrote this. Apple, according to a report from TrendForce, production volume. TrendForce says production volume for the next iPhone, Apple is ramping up by an increasing 6% to get to at least 100 million units. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I got it wrong. The report claims the production volume of all iPhone devices for 2017 is projected to hit 230 million. That's the 6% annual increase. Mm. Wow.
Is that the super cycle? Does 6% make a super cycle? We'll have to wait and see. I like the West Coast Trend Force better. They're my favorite. Or the Great Lakes Trend Force.
Trend Force. Well, these are analysts, right? They're just making stuff up.
It's our Windows phone is going to be the biggest phone on the planet by 20. Yeah.
Who somebody said that, right?
Yeah,
that's a famous.
Yeah, it was IDC or something. Yeah, I think it was IDC.
The iOS 10.2.1 did fix, according to Apple, some of those iPhone 6S shutdown issues. In fact, Apple says 80% improvement. Some iPhone 6S. 6 Plus and 6S Plus devices, showed more battery life than it was actually left, and they would just like die at 60%.
That was the power spike I was describing earlier.
Yeah. And apparently that's been fixed in software by 10.2.1. They put out the new beta yesterday. Did you? I said we would ask you, Renee, did you download it and install it?
I did. I downloaded it. I forgot to install it, but then I woke up and it had installed itself.
Nice of it. Now, there is a convenience.
Yeah, I think I don't know if I mentioned this on the last show or not, but I was out having lunch with Georgia and we saw that Game of Thrones, the concert was here because an ad popped up on Instagram. So I just tapped on it. Did I talk about this? And it just let me scan it immediately.
Wow.
So like, I didn't have my credit card information because it was a random website, but iOS, the Siri suggestion thing popped up, scan card. So I tapped that button, held up my credit card, scanned it, and then autofilled the address and the telephone number, and I just hit a button and submitted.
That is awesome. I think you did mention that. Yeah, that's really that's
the kind of stuff that I like that they're doing.
That's convenience, isn't it? KGI, Ming-Chi Kuo, once again. Apple's, this is the 3D sensing phone. We mentioned that.
Yeah.
Apple rumored to eliminate 32 gigabyte tier with the iPhone 8, starting at 64 gigabytes. They kind of began that trend last year, eliminating the 8 gigabyte phone.
It's also getting expensive to get low amounts of SSDs. Yeah. Storage.
Yeah. I think this is good. I don't know if it's true, but I would, it's not a bad thing. Contradictory report cites 5 Apple wireless charging teams. No wonder it's contradictory on iPhone 8. What? I don't even understand this headline from Apple Insider. New report highlights Apple's involvement with wireless with Qi, blah, blah, blah.
I think the real story is that picture of Sia without her, like, with her face completely.
That's not Sia. That's Maya.
That's the dancer, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, because she was singing, and then at the event, Tim took, I forget her name now, but she was the judge, honestly. They took her around to show her everything.
And then she'll report back to Sia?
Yes.
So Sia's like the Dread Pirate Roberts. They just, like, swap the big bow and the wig.
I think she's like the Enterprise, and I forget her name. Is it Mia? Is the shuttlecraft.
Tell me, have you ever considered a career in international super popdom?
But I'll tell you this, Tim Cook is really good at giving demos because he always brings the musical guest out afterwards. And he grabs a product from marketing and he does like a full run through of it and he does it well.
Yeah.
And it's always funny because you talk to marketing from some companies, and I won't name them, but I've talked to many mobile and tech companies, and their marketing people barely seem to know what products they have.
It's
they have
a sheet in front of them
and they read it.
Yeah.
And these guys, they just rattle off as if they were an engineer, just come off the line to talk to you at that.
It's Renee is absolutely right. I've had talks with a pretty high level like product managers that have been working on this for 2 or 3 years, and so I would ask, hey, but so if that feature works this way, then wouldn't it be possible to do ABC? And then like they kind of blink, and then he and like an engineer, someone like huddle over, wow, you can do it that way. Awesome. I'm like, okay, glad. I'm glad I was able to train you on your own product. You feel as though Tim's been using and using this phone for weeks and months.
Right. Well, he has. Yeah. I guarantee you. By the way, chat room says shuttle name Galileo.
Galileo Enterprise 5
and Galileo.
You said it right, Leo.
The average you. How much did you spend on iPhone apps last year? How many apps did you download? The average user in the U.S. spent $40 on apps and downloaded 33 of them.
I bought the holiday bundles in Pokemon Go. I don't even want to think about how much I probably spiked this year.
That does seem low.
People like free. They just get the free content? And then they dump it. Yeah. It's not a paying economy, the app economy anymore.
iPhone 7 Plus explodes, but one, right?
Yeah, every phone has a few that go off.
Right.
Not only that, but the battery technology, it's just if anything happens to the battery, even the best made phone can just ignite. So that's not a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
It's when you have lots and lots of them going up. It's when the FAA decides to make it a rule, make it illegal for a plane to take off before you tell the entire passenger list that their phone sucks. That's when you got a problem.
Yeah. What I meant is that if you go back, you'll find an instance or two of almost any generation iPhone or almost any phone is sold in mass quantity by any manufacturer, because the laws of averages dictate that there's one or two bad ones, or they get dropped, like Andy said, or something happens to the battery and they go off. But it's when you have a problem that rises beyond a statistical anomaly that you have a concern.
Yeah. This is the video from the Arizona teen of her phone smoking. And wow, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what was she recording with if her phone was igniting?
Oh, good question. Was your boyfriend phone, spending the night?
Yeah, I think she said if she grabbed her boyfriend's phone and...
She's in trouble.
I wouldn't have my face right over that. I would...
Yeah, I don't know what
I'd be using the wonderful digital zoom feature of the Samsung Galaxy S7.
At least hold the phone at arm's length.
Ironically, you shot that with a Note 7.
Let's see. I'm just looking through, making sure we get everything in here. Google has added MacBook Touch Bar support for Chrome. It's in the Canary channel right now, which is the kind of very early beta channel. But that means it'll be on its way.
Microsoft's Office Suite, even
Office
though they demoed
is doing it.
Yeah, it's in the early. I forget what they call it. They're rings. They have several rings, like Green Lantern
fast
rings
ring
for the
insider.
Different.
One
ring.
The only time I ever am aware of the Touch Bar is when I hit it by accident and something pops up that I don't want.
Yeah, you kind of want better rejection on that. They've gotten really good rejection on the other products and just need better rejection on that. It's that Siri thing. If I switch and I forget to disable it, it just Siri's me all the time.
Yeah, my friend Neil in the chat in Twitter told me, showed me how to, you just drag it out of the toolbar in the customization. But you got to have some stuff there. The one I still have there is the magnifying glass spotlight. And that's the worst thing to pop up, by the way. You're halfway through typing your password and you realize half of the password is in a spotlight field.
Well, it's better than Twitter, Leo. You don't want to be tweeting your passwords.
True. Can happen. Colorware will paint your AirPods if you want. Only $130 bucks more, but they do look pretty. The kind of that there's the jet black version.
Yeah.
That's tempting.
Is it easier to see the earwax on a darker earbud or on a lighter one?
Depends on the color of your earwax.
Yeah, it depends on the level of pollution in your city. I mean, there's so many factors.
Well, wait a minute now. Yeah, I don't know if I want to get this guy. Does earwax have a natural color, or does it absorb color from the environment?
Is it nature or is it nurture?
I'm sorry.
All I want to know is I would spend that money if you could get them like blood red. So it looks like you're enjoying your metal so much there's blood dripping from your ears.
You can
product blood red.
Colorware has how many colors? A lot of them. Not just black.
They've been doing this stuff for years. They're really good at it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm really tempted. So do you send them yours or do you just buy them from them?
We've done both over the years.
I think it's often easier and sometimes less expensive not to have to ship it both ways.
I would love to have customized AirPods. That is a little bit pricey. Apparently, Colorware is running on Amazon S3.
Is there any price? It's style. How you put a price tag on style, Leo?
Doubling
and
the
also
price,
tripling. It's going to be, if Apple does come with the like super exclusive deluxe ceramic foam for more than $1,000, and if they have the iPhone edition line, for instance, it would be interesting to see accessory makers step up and say, well, if there are people who are willing to spend an extra $400 for the same phone but with a ceramic case, why not actually produce real rose gold earbuds instead of it being a charity item? There are going to be people who are saying, why don't we just do a $300 markup by putting our own style brand on them? It opens the door to a whole lot of different ways of putting flair and flash onto things.
Look at these. They're so pretty.
They are. Yeah.
Oh, man. This is very tempting.
I have to say that I don't think that the white AirPods are ugly. I just think that they, for something that calls attention to itself, it's a weird shape to have dangling out of your ears. But if you have a really beautiful color like that, it almost feels like a fashion accessory. I'd be jewelry. Much more interested in putting like a royal blue or a purple set of AirPods in my ears.
So they're sold out. So you have to send in yours. And that means you're going to lose them for a couple of 3 weeks.
They even do the box.
Oh, the charger. I know. Yeah. And you could have two different colors for the box.
Yeah. And they even re-silk screen the left and the right.
Oh, man.
I think that's, I would love to see a video of how everything they do to make it look like a stock, like shipped
Jonathan
product.
Here, and I'm.
Hi, Jonathan. How you doing? So, so you say the Colorware is good. They do a good job. So this would be worth doing. This would be so worth doing. Look how pretty. Oh, they don't do the inside though. So you just have a white inside.
It's like a tuxedo. It's like a little tuxedo.
Two-tone. The two-tone is nice too.
Two-tone. Boy, is that pretty.
Ooh, AirPod cufflinks. That's a great idea, Yarny.
You can
them.
Talk like Secret Service. Just lift your arm up and. Listening to the
every time you wipe your nose, Adele. Though you're telling Siri to do something.
treasure trove. This is good. I like this treasure trove of Apple internal memos discovered in a thrift store. In a thrift store, it was up in Seattle's Goodwill. A Redditor saw a cache of internal memos, progress reports, and legal pad scribbles from 1979 and 1980. Apparently, they belong to Jack McDonald, who was the manager of system software for the Apple II and the Apple III, which, by the way, the documents referred to by the code name Sarah. I don't know what happened. How did they get in the... This is amazing.
Bless you, Reddit, for finding all this stuff.
Yeah, Reddit's amazing. I wish S3 were up because we could read these.
I read them over the weekend. They're really cool. It's the entire development, practically from start to finish, of Apple figuring out how to do copy protection on Apple II software. This is when Apple software stopped being something that you just simply share with people and started being commercial stuff. And they're trying to figure out, okay, so what do we do about this? Do we just like have independent developers create their own systems, or do we create our own system that is absolutely certified that will definitely work with our stuff, and we add on to our business? Companies will come to us, and we will basically they send us a master, we will send them back a disk that if they duplicate it, we'll have special software that will duplicate mass duplicators for them. And they're going back and forth over all kinds of different solutions. Wiggo and Woz, who had two different solutions. One was Woz's was really, really clever. He noticed that every nibble had some unused bits in it on the disk. That was just for they weren't being used. We thought, what if we actually use those four bits to have like a code, because the ordinary operating system ignores them because they're not important, but our version of the operating system or our protected disk will look for them to make sure it's there. And so every bit of data being written will essentially have a piece of copy protection on it. And meanwhile, they're looking at like a VisiCalc's copy protection scheme and the pros and cons. And I think at one point he emailed back, in regards to the VisiCalc scheme, I broke it in an hour and 15 minutes. So take that as for what it is. But you do see all the back and forth. You see handwritten notes from meetings. You see the formal notes. You see the requisition forms for here is the project we want to do. Here's how many people we're going to need. Here are the risks. It's really interesting. And there's some that go to Steve Jobs. There's some that go to other people you've heard of, people that you haven't heard from. Even in 1979, 1980, you see that Apple had become a real company.
This is really fast. This is the kind of stuff, man, I wish a certain statute of limitations runs out or, you know, everybody involved has passed away or something. This stuff should be somehow made public for historians and
researchers. You're looking for the really good ones. Yes, Steve, we'll fire that bozo, but could you please narrow down which of the 12 people you called the bozo today that you wanted us to fire?
I think it's still fascinating. I agree with Andy, just reading about their attempts to come up with a copy protection scheme that kind of balances the need of consumers with their need to protect the software. And, you know, it's really interesting. It's really – here's the software experts, Dick Houston, Andy Hertzfeld, and Randy Wigginton. A good scheme should be at least an hour for copying the disk. This is fascinating. Just fascinating stuff. I love seeing this stuff. Here's even some handwritten notes. And so it was a specific, it sounds like most of this trove, and all of which, by the way, has been scanned in, is available as a PDF. So if you really want to look at it.
I recommend it. It's fascinating, particularly if you're on an airplane. Just to look through here it's all in chronological order. So you get to see what the arguments are, what the back and forths are, let's go back a step and figure out exactly what our goals are. Because at some point someone had to be lectured on, okay, look, there is a point at which somebody is going to steal this software. So it's stupid for us to try to inconvenience our users and everybody to try to make that happen. We're just trying to delay the people who are going to, who are going to do it casually. It is great reading. I downloaded it as soon as I saw it, thinking that there might be some people who might want to take this down. So I'm going to actually save this locally.
Yeah.
But Chris Espinosa found the link to it pretty quickly and added some notes, I think, on his own Twitter feed and said, hey, if you have the originals, I would love to have it for the computer museum because it's documented history. Think about all the great stories about the Apollo program that come out when it's 30 years after and all these engineers are in their 60s, 70s and 80s. And they have all these stories that they want to make sure don't die with them. And they also have like papers and documents and stickers and things that they want to show people. And that's when you really appreciate the full story about this engineering achievement. So I'm just hoping that I don't want Apple technology to feel like, well, there's this magical land. There was this magical ring-shaped palace from which the magic appears. Like, no, there are a lot of people who fought really, really hard. They're the word butt jack was uttered in anger about the decision to move this port from here to there. But by the time there was a public demonstration, everybody was on the same page.
Yes, really, really neat stuff. And I think they got Woz to comment on it as well. So
again, he developed one of the two schemes under consideration.
Yeah, really interesting.
Because he created the controller. He was like Mr. Disk Operating System.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think it sounds like. Oh no, they haven't yet got so. Gizmodo reached out to Woz for more information, but I guess they haven't got him to comment yet. Fascinating, fascinating discovery. What a find! Yeah, you know what? I'm going to save this too.
Yeah,
because it's. I would I'd guess what happened is somebody saved all of these memos into one folder that somehow got packed in a box that was somehow brought to Goodwill.
Yeah. Think about over the previous decades, all of the great stuff that wound up in a landfill, including like original Apple I development boards, every scrap of notes that went into the Mac before this stuff was under triple double secret lockdown. I was a dumpster diver when I was a kid in the technology belt here in Boston, and the things that I would find were just really, really cool. I felt like I was being I felt like I was an ecological recycler by taking these things out of like Polaroid's trash and Digital's trash. And it just boggles the mind to think of what you could do with a time machine, a pair of coveralls, and like a part-time job riding a garbage truck in San Jose in the late 70s, early 80s.
You may remember the iconic picture of Steve Jobs looking at I'm going to get the full picture here, looking at the camera and with his arms folded on top of a Macintosh. This is a very famous Time magazine cover when Steve passed. You can now get the watch. Seiko has decided to do a limited run of Steve Jobs watches from that portrait. They'll only be sold in Japan, but I bet you there'll be a few collectors who will go there. This is the Chariot series. It was the watch that Steve was wearing in the 1984 Norman Seeff portrait that was on the cover of Time. He's sitting, you know, there it is.
Yeah.
With his Macintosh and his legs crossed. The original watch was auctioned a year ago for $42,500. Man, this is kind of tempting. They're going to sell 1,982 units with a white face, another 300 in black. The cost about $180, but again, exclusive to the Japanese market. But the
turtleneck is extra.
Turtleneck not included.
Yeah. I was just thinking about every time I click into Instagram and like Dan Benjamin, 5 out of every 6 photos is of a different like Seiko watch. Marco Arment, all the different like really cool watches he has and tweets and posts about. It's like I'm wondering who wants. I think that there are a lot of people in our community who are more interested in being the first to have one of these watches than they are to be the first to have the iPhone 8 or the new hover car that's coming out in January.
We wanted to see the new, what is it, iPad commercial?
iPad Pro. Yeah, iPad Pro. It's another one of those. I got a tweet here, and I'll tell you how the world can be better if you just switch from a PC to an iPad.
I want another one of those, huh? Where do you go? Apple.com/...
YouTube.com/Apple.
Oh, yeah, that's probably
easy. Can I say that they're not having commercials saying, this is why you should switch from a Windows machine to a Mac?
Yeah, no. Mac has a smaller marketing budget.
No, isn't it? It's interesting, isn't it? What am I getting here? YouTube on TV.
There is caring. There is visibly, demonstrably caring. And then I'm not saying not caring, but not at least being a little bit more quiet about how much you care in so much as you don't want to show any public signs whatsoever that you care. That is your basic Minnesota marriage right there.
I don't recall now. I think they might have had one touch bar commercial.
Is this the one with the printer?
Yes.
Yes. Here we go. Let me give you the audio so we can enjoy it together.
When you're printing personal things at work and you have to run to the printer before anyone else does.
Don't print. With iPad Pro and Apple Pencil, you can just sign and send off that secret new job offer.
What new job? I'm not looking for a new job. I'm very happy here.
That's funny. It's cute.
Yeah, it's humanizing.
And you get the point, which is you don't have to print documents. You could just sign them on your iPad and email them.
Which would be a wonderful point if not for the fact that Windows machines are usually touch devices and often come with pens. But hey, again.
It's funny because I had this conversation with my mom because she switched to everything to online banking, but then she would still print off a copy of everything that she got online. You know, she went paperless, but for safety's sake, she had to print out a copy.
Yeah.
And we just sat down and went through everything, and now she's much better at a digital workflow. Yeah. But it was a hurdle. I think holding that thing in your hands and just getting used to it is part of that shift.
So maybe you've heard that it's a lot of hard work making iPhones, that some of the employees at Foxconn are not so happy doing it. Well, I got to differ with you. Apparently, Foxconn workers who've been asked to shift to assembling other phones quit. They'd rather leave than deal with the lower pay and the lower safety precautions when building goods from companies other than Apple. So there. That's really comes from, you know, to Apple's credit, that comes from Apple's insistence that, you know, if you're going to be building Apple products, you better be taking care of those workers, at least better than you do the rest of them. So there.
Take that.
Take that. Let's take a break and come back, because you know what I'd like to get next? Your picks of the week, my friends. But I'm going to pick something that I really like. Something I like so much, I interact with it for hours every single day. Up to 8 hours every single day. Sometimes 9 if it's a weekend. My Casper mattress. My Casper mattress. Casper is the pioneer. They were the first to say, you know, all it took was, you know, the guys who started Casper, they walk into a mattress store. They look at the mattress store. They look at the markup. And they know how much it costs to make those mattresses. And they're thinking, this is a business ripe for disruption. So they started making the mattresses themselves and selling them directly to you for a fraction of the cost. No showroom saves them a lot of money, eliminates that middleman markup. But then they thought, well, we got a problem. We don't have resellers. We don't have showrooms. Yeah, that's great for the consumer for the price, but don't consumers want to sleep on the mattresses first? So they said, I know how we solve this. They can sleep on the mattress first. They can sleep on it for 100 days, 100 nights, and return it for every penny back if they're not happy. That's right. You have 100 nights to try out a Casper mattress. Casper is obsessively engineered, made with supportive memory foams for a sleep surface with just the right sink, just the right bounce. It's breathable. It sleeps cool. It helps you regulate your temperature through the night. And it lasts a long, long time. Got my son through college. You can buy it online completely risk-free. In fact, we just ordered a Casper for my daughter, who just moved into her first adult apartment. And I gave her the IKEA bed that we had in the guest room with the IKEA mattress. And she said, Dad, this is horrible. I said, don't worry. Look for a box on your doorstep. It's a brand new Casper Queen. And that's the beauty of it. It comes in such a compact box. It's really easy to get up. She's on the second floor. Get upstairs. Get into the house. Casper understands the importance of trying out a mattress, so they give you free delivery and painless returns within a 100-day period, so you don't have to lie down in the showroom. And absolutely, it's absolutely true if you've ever done it. And I know I have many times. That's how I chose this bad mattress for my daughter. It doesn't matter what it feels like in the showroom. That's not what it's going to be like in your house. Casper, free shipping, free returns, U.S. and Canada. Get a Casper mattress today, and you'll save a $50 on your mattress purchase when you go to casper.com/MacBreak and enter the promo code MacBreak. Casper.com/MacBreak, promo code MacBreak. Some terms and conditions apply. Pretty much my whole family now. I got everybody sleeping on Casper mattresses. They're just that comfortable. And I know there's an initial hurdle. I get email from people all the time who say, I bought a Casper and I love it. And I know there's that, like, I don't know, should I? But it really, it's really easy to return it. I hear, I don't know anyone who's returned it, but it's really easy to return it. So you shouldn't be reluctant to try it out, and you will save a lot of money.
Here. So great.
Yeah, they're awesome.
So great.
Okay. Who wants to start? Why don't we let Andy, he's written his in, so.
Oh. Okay. Public shaming.
Public shaming. He wins. Andy, you're the good boy today. What is your pick of the week?
The Raspberry Pi organization, one of the top five greatest companies, innovative companies, really interesting companies doing things today. Today they just released this, which is the new version of the Raspberry Pi.
You said you had this. Yeah.
Yeah, this is I have an advanced version of this. This is the Raspberry Pi W, which is the let me just say, this is a single core computer running Linux that has USB, it has wireless Bluetooth, it has Wi-Fi, it has a camera connector, and it also has HDMI out directly from the board itself. It's powered by any micro USB connector power, including battery. It also has a GPIO header so that you can wire in switches, sensors, anything you want. $10. $10 for what you can run a desktop operating system that runs the Chrome browser, Chromium browser on. It is so cool. It's everything that I usually rant about the Raspberry Pi is also true of this. It's not as powerful as the main Raspberry Pi 3 that came out last year, but it adds the by adding wireless to the Raspberry Pi Zero, it takes away a little bit of the complexity you had to add to the Raspberry Pi Zero in order to make it a little bit more useful. So essentially, I can put it inside. This is the, they also commissioned designers to come up with this really cool, like little, like stick of gum sort of case for it. But the idea is that you can just basically install whatever operating system you want, or even a media server, onto this little card, and then just put this in your bag. And so anytime you need a desktop computer, you can just actually have this running. You can even run it, run a VNC on it, so that you can just, anytime you need, like on your iPad, something akin to a desktop operating system that can take SD cards, use hard drives, connect to servers, anything, you can just plug this into like your battery, your phone battery charger, and then just basically connect to it over Wi-Fi via VNC and have a perfect like a Debian Linux desktop running in a window on your iPad. Or you can decide to take your Wally action figure and install this board inside, and by running wires from this GPIO to the basic circuitry inside Eve, make it a network addressable, network controllable version of this doll. Or if you wanted to take an old camera and turn it into a 1950s Kodak Brownie camera and turn it into a brand new digital camera, you could hollow out the insides, put this in a camera inside it, and create your own software for it. Or if you wanted to have a weather station, you can just put this $10. So basically put it outside, put it underneath a flower pot, with a couple of wires sticking out of it that will have temperature sensors on it. And now you can basically pull this little device that's running 24/7, doing nothing but finding weather data and posting it to a little web server that's running on itself. Yeah. There's so many things you can do with it. You just buy this and have it and you play with it. I'm going to tell you that these things go, as soon as they introduce a brand new product, you can't buy them anywhere. They already sold out their first shipments today, and there's a long, long wait list. The only way you can buy one is if you buy like a packet, a company that's putting this together with, like, you get cables and you get breadboards and stuff for $90 instead of just the $10 thing. It has been all I can do to not like wire this into a couple of different projects, because this is the only one I have, and it's the only one I'm going to have for several weeks. It's like the amount of creativity, the amount of excitement that no other computer has created, this level of like, oh my God, all the things I can do with this, all the things I didn't want to do with a computer before, but now I want to do this, been created with the Raspberry Pi. And they just keep finding ways to make this, the Raspberry Pi, more and more awesome to more and more people, make it more and more affordable. This is $10.
It's amazing.
Just buy it. You'll have fun.
Now,
does
that include the case? Because I really like the little case.
The case is pretty awesome. That doesn't include the case. The case is extra. Actually, I don't know what the case goes for.
Because that is really sweet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You put it back in there. But yeah, the case comes with a whole bunch of different sets of cutouts. So this is this is what you would have if you were trying to run it as a media server. It's like pretty much tied up. It has cutouts for all the different ports in there. They also have a version that has a cutout for the camera lens if you're putting it together with the Pi, the standard like Raspberry Pi camera. They also have one that has the GPIO header cut out. So if you want to basically plug a ribbon cable into it, that'll work great too. So again, I felt as though it would be wrong, because I had advanced knowledge of like who was going to be selling it and when it was going to be available. I was like, what if I just stay up and just have bookmarks to all five of these stores open and order one from each of these stores. I decided that that's probably not in the cooperative spirit of the Raspberry Pi community, but oh boy, did I want to. $10. Go to raspberrypi.org for more information. That also has lists of the stores that have it. Again, today, if you want one, you will be happily joining a bunch of mailing lists of stores that will email you when this becomes available, but it will probably be a month or so before it's easy to get one.
Yeah, but good news is they've gotten pretty good at cranking up production over time, and so $10 Raspberry Pi. This is the Zero, but this is the Zero with a Zero W. With Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, and so the Zero, which was $5, $10. For a full-fledged PC.
Full-fledged desktop computer. The Raspberry Pi 3, like the big one that costs all of $35, and oh my God, it's the size of a pack of cigarettes, if you can believe such a thing. That one's big enough that you can really basically do anything with it you could do with your phone. It can run a media server. It can play like HD video onto a big screen. This is somewhat more limited. It will do doing word processing, running decent web pages. It'll do that. Maybe it's not as good for, again, playing HD video on a hotel TV. But $10, that means you buy it, you play with it, and then you find out everything you can do with it because you have a great brain and great creativity, and there's a type of technology and a type of computer that only you can conceive and only you can build, and for $10 you can build it yourself.
And I want to thank Father Robert, who I guess knows somebody at Raspberry Pi, because this is his Raspberry Pi 0W. But I'm sure that means that we'll be seeing some projects based on it on know-how in the near future. You have a pick of the week, Mr. Rene Ritchie?
I do. So, as people, fans of the show know, I've been using the Apple Watch Edition, the ceramic one, lately, and I picked up the woven nylon band in. I love the way they named this color. It didn't call it blue or brown or anything. They called it toasted coffee with caramel. So I guess with the ceramic, it's sort of like a latte, which is why I have an affinity for it, because you've got like the lovely white topping, and then you have the band on it. And it's just, I really like the look. And what I noticed is, if you see the watch face in that picture, it really looks like it's been coordinated. That's the orange color with the dot simple numerals watch face. And it really, like, they've taken this whole coordination thing to the next level, because you have watchOS and the watch and the band sort of all working together. And I just posted my review for the Apple Watch Edition. I put it up on iMore earlier today, and I talked to a bunch of people in the industry. Just a bunch of questions, because ceramic watches aren't new, and I wanted to sort of figure out if Apple was doing anything new with them. And a couple of things, John Edwards, who's a watchmaker in Ottawa, was kind enough to spend some time with me describing it. And he was talking about, you know, like, ceramics can vary. They're really, really hard. They're harder than the stainless steel watches. He thinks you'll have years and years of use out of this, you know, without scratching it. But they've known to be brittle. Like, if you drop them, they can crack, they can chip, those sorts of things. But he said it looks like the ceramic Apple is using is sort of robust and tries to stop that. But also the shape of the Apple Watch, the way that they've done the curves and they've done the sort of bullet pellet design, minimizes the kinds of areas where he's used to seeing those sorts of chips and cracks in traditional watches, which have sharper edges and rounder or squarer forms. And he said, like, if he didn't know any better, he'd think that Apple might have had ceramics in mind when they designed this shape, because it's sort of the best way to do it if you are looking at materials like ceramics, which I found to be fascinating. So all in all, I'm super happy with this. My big regret is that Apple does not give you a way to change the lugs. I found some third-party ceramic lugs on Amazon I'm going to try out, and that might be a future pick if they work out. But just the ability to swap out those lugs so that you can have the huge variety of stainless steel bands but have them actually match the casing of the ceramic watch, I think would be really cool.
Very nice. I got a little tip.
And it's cheap, like $50.
Yeah, and the watch is not cheap.
No, but the bands. Yeah, no. Once you pay for the watch, the bands are around.
The bands are nothing. Yeah, but I didn't really like the idea of a white watch at first. But it is true that the band then becomes the color accent, and it really is kind of nice. You can mix and match and do some interesting things.
The black Milanese looks great. It looks like James Bond's tuxedo.
Oh, I'll have to try that. I'll have to try that. Hey, a tip from a listener. I'm Don here on Twitter. He said, here's a nice new feature at macrumors.com. If you scroll down to the very bottom of the page on Mac Rumors, you'll be given at the very bottom, I have to make it big so you can see it, you'll be given some view choices, mobile version, fixed, fluid, and a new fluid HD, which fills, you know, the screen, wraps around it, and really is a very nice layout. I don't know if they're experimenting with something, but it's a really pretty layout for Mac Rumors. So, Don, thank you for that tip, because this is a site, obviously, we all spend a lot of time on. Not as much.
And Arnold Kim is a savvy individual.
Yes, but not as much as I spend on iMore.com. That's where you'll find Rene Ritchie, who is also very fluid. He's got his review up of the ceramic edition. See, your boss should have let you have that a little sooner.
I know. He said he was going to do the review, but he got super busy with his crackberry nonsense.
I got super busy. Yeah.
That's the Canada, by the way. The white with the red sport band is the Canada.
Now you make me want more bands. I have to say, I've come around a little bit on the Apple Watch because I'm doing a lot of fitness stuff. And there is no other watch, and I've tried them all. I just got a Samsung Gear S3 Frontier. there's no other watch that does heart rate as well as the Apple Watch, at least for me and my skin type. And it's, you know, I just keep coming back to it. It unlocks my Mac.
Pro tip, Leo, if you get like activity sharing alerts and you keep sending back hamburgers, fries, pizza, stuff like that, your friends get kind of angry at you.
Donuts?
Yes, I've been doing that, and I got
donuts. Like,
I got snarky Clayton Morris.
I want back, some more friends, though. It's only you and Megan are my friends. I need Clayton's on there too. I got to get some more friends, because that is something that really works, is that competition. And Renee is the worst person ever as a friend, because he fills his rings every damn day.
I tried a couple times. I want that perfect month, and I actually fell asleep. I was so tired, I fell asleep without finishing the workout, and I woke up. Oh. There's nothing I can do. There's no.
Damn it.
Next month.
Damn it. iMore.com. Follow Renee's activities there and his podcast, too. Some great ones, including the newer Apple Talk podcast. Jason Snell's on this week.
On this week's episode, we recorded it yesterday. It's Big Block of Cheese Day. So we just got a bunch of reader questions. The more outlandish, the better. And we tried to work our way through them.
What day was Big Block of Cheese Day? I missed it.
Well, we just did it as a homage. I don't know if it was. It was probably not the proper Andrew Jackson Day, but...
Do you think, given that President Trump is such a fan of Jackson, that he'll bring the Big Block of Cheese Day back?
I always thought it was apocryphal. Was it a literal big block of cheese? Could people actually go in and sustain themselves?
I don't think Aaron Sorkin would lie.
There was a huge block of cheese, although it wasn't like as legendary as that. There was somebody donated a huge block of cheese that was too big for the White House to deal with, and so it was, look, we're leaving this outside for either the vermin or for the public. Go have it.
It apparently is a somewhat fictional story.
Fictional big blocks of cheese are way better than
It wasn't quite as big as a horse, as that the illustration indicated. Yes,
according to a Jackson historian. Jackson didn't think he should be guided by public opinion, so offered the cheese to the public, not so much in a spirit of open conversation as in one of desperation. Nor was he the first chief executive to receive an enormous cheese as a gesture of the relationship between the president and the people. The big block of cheese was, more than anything else, perhaps just as it is today, a political tool, earnest and cynical in equal measure. So there is.
As soon as Wisconsin joined the union, you got a big block of cheese.
There was a big block of cheese.
It was spiked cheese.
Yeah. So a dairy farmer, Colonel Thomas Meacham, Sandy Creek, New York, in 1835, to flaunt his cheese-making ingenuity, this is from the Atlantic, he created 10 cheeses. The biggest of these, 4 feet in diameter and 2 feet tall, weighed 1,400 pounds. He delivered it to Andrew Jackson on a schooner bound for D.C., wearing a belt that, according to a dispatch from the Utica newspaper, got up with much taste, presenting a fine bust of the president surrounded by a chain of 24 states united and linked together. So he also sent 2 750-pound wheels of cheddar to Martin Van Buren. So there was a 14-foot block of cheese.
And all I got him was a $50 iTunes gift card. Now I feel kind of like an idiot.
And we missed it because it was January, I think, 29th. So we missed it by a month.
Well, in Canada, they have the later harvest.
Yes. To make up for Thanksgiving.
Mr. Andy Iannacco, he is the Chicago Sun-Times most esteemed technology writer, and he joins us each week on this very show, as well as his many other podcasts at replay.fm. And we are grateful to that. Thank you for being here, both of you guys.
Thanks.
You can see us do this thing live if you want. Cheese and all at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time, 1900 UTC every Tuesday. We can watch on youtube.com/twit. We're on YouTube Live there. You can also watch on twitch.tv/twit. Ustream.com/twit or twit.tv/live. And if you can't be here live, don't worry, because, you know, we also have it on demand at twit.tv/mbw. Please. There's poor Renee Ritchie on a screen sitting outside the circle of trust with Andy, me, and Alex Lindsay. That was...
I look so sad.
You just really don't look happy there. You'll find that on the webpage, twit.tv/mbw. I feel so bad. Next time Andy comes to town, you better do the same.
Yep.
Yes.
Twit.tv/MBW or wherever you get your favorite podcast. Thanks for being here. But now it's time to get back to work because guess what? Break time is over.